Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Tips brought to you by the Hunt Lift Eat Podcast. I'm Carter McKenzie. Here with Bobby. Did Kevin just disappear?
Fuck. Bro, as soon as he said so.
God damn it.
Just fucking vanishing again.
There he is. As soon as we started.
And he's back. I'm Carter McKenzie here with Bobby. What's going on, Bobby? How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to be back on as usual and excited to hear you guys have to say.
Heck yeah. This is going to be a teaser episode for our full-length Hawaii Part 2 recap that we're going to be running here in a second. And tonight we're joined by my new friend, Kevin Harris. What's going on, Kevin?
Guys, I'm just too excited to be here, man. Thank you for having me on. Just got too much to say about this trip. It was a trip that you can only dream about, and I'm just glad I was able to do it with such great friends and have such great success.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah, it was pretty unreal trip, and it's going to be hard to keep this. We don't want to unveil too much without Stuart being here, but that's going to be hard. Like you're saying, that's going to be a tough one because I just want to talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, we're just going to have to keep it kind of tight with just the travel tips that we kind of mastered while on this trip. Just traveling with, you know, firearms. Fortunately, it was all in the U.S., so that was made it a little bit more streamlined. But even just the difficulties of getting the meat back and the antlers back, I think we got a lot of tips that we can share with some of the listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Bobby, you actually had a lot of questions about, you know, how we got the meat back, how we got the, you know, antlers and horns, and I just asked you for your address. I'm going to ship you some of the sheds that I found. And we had various ways of getting that back. So I think that's going to be very applicable to a lot of folks, especially now that hunting season is here. And
Carter was on a roll, man. We had to leave some behind. I think you found a couple sets every day.
Yeah, I was obsessed. I was like, they're just so cool. And I don't know, they're just not a whitetail. I was like, I got to take as many of these home as I can.
Were you just walking and looking at your feet the whole time? Like, what were you doing?
Well, the funny thing is, like, that landscape is, like, so unreal. Like, other planet weird, and it's red.
Don't give
red
up too
clay.
Much.
Yeah. So anyways, red clay, long story short, and those antlers that have been bleached white in the sun shine up really easily. They like illuminate because that the contrast with the red clay. And so they were everywhere, and there's such a high density of animals. There's just, I mean, I was just leaving. I brought home three deadheads. Like, who does that? Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, they're just everywhere. That was cool.
That's cool. I'm definitely interested in how you guys got your gear there and how you got everything back, especially after a harvest. Because, you know, we always think about it, it's funny because when we did the pre-episode to this and we were asking you questions, Carter, you're always just like, I don't know. I'm gonna have to dissect that one to Stuart and bring him into that one. You guys didn't really have much of a plan. So now I'm really excited to see. Since you didn't have a plan on getting your shit there and your shit back, I'm really excited to see what you guys did to get your stuff there and back, and especially in one piece too, because I know some of this stuff is fragile as hell.
Yeah, we figured it out. Kevin, was that your first out of state hunt, like where you fly as a non-resident?
Yeah, so it's definitely my first hunt where I've flown. I mean, I've driven and been able to pack stuff back, but then you just throw it in the, you know, the cooler in the back of the truck and roll on. So this was definitely a learning curve for me as well, but I think we have some major takeaways from it. I think the biggest achievement was bringing the vacuum sealer. I mean, that was just such a game changer. We were able to process and package all the meat right there, freeze it in our little condo, and then get it ready for shipment. So essentially, we just went down to the local little grocery store. And when I say local little grocery store, this is like your hole-in-the-wall store. I mean, there's no stoplights on this island. It's very remote. So I think we went in there and bought two of the six coolers that they'd sold, and we filled them up to the brim and duct taped them down the best we could and rolled out of there.
Yeah, and those were the most expensive coolers in the United States, I'm pretty sure. It was like $70 for like a medium-sized cooler. It was crazy. But yeah, that vacuum sealer was clutch, man. I was amped when I saw that you brought that. I was like, what a brilliant move. And I guess your only real barrier to entry with a vacuum sealer is you got to have electricity, right? So if you were in the field somewhere, hopefully you'd be fortunate enough to have someone with a generator or at least an inverter you could run it off. I guess you could run off the truck or like your RV or something like that. But we were fortunate enough to stay in a condo. And like, this was not, we're not pulling a Joe Rogan and staying at the Four Seasons here. It was not like that, that kind of, not that level of nice, but, the vacuum sealer was clutch because we just, you know, we could break those animals down and take our time and get good cuts and then put a hard freeze on them, which is, that's the name of the game.
Yeah. So like it took us 22 hours to travel back home and every single thing in the cooler was still frozen solid. So I was very pleased with the results. With that method, I think the only thing I would do differently is instead of pack in book bags and suitcases, I think I would just shove everything in a cooler and use that as my carry-on luggage and have, like, you know, bags for my clothes and stuff for when we fill the cooler up. But that way we don't have to purchase that ridiculous $70 igloo that we had to buy at the last minute.
Yeah. And you can bring meat back on as your carry-on. In a soft-sided cooler. You can 100% do that. TSA is all squared away with that. You get some weird looks, and you have to put that meat through the x-ray in security, which is bizarre. But I've done that in Wyoming, and you can totally do that. So I bought like a cheap Ozark soft-sided cooler, and I brought a whole mule deer back, boned out, in two soft-sided coolers, and just took those as my two carry-ons. So 100% next time.
So were you worried about, like, you know, leaking out of the overhead compartment, like as you're flying, like get some drips coming out on somebody?
Yeah. So that's the only thing that they are not cool with. If there's any leakage or like if it melts and there's any water residue or anything like that that comes out of it, they will throw it away. That's the only caveat. Oh, shit. Every airline and anything in TSA, if it starts to melt and you can see it, it's done. So you have to be, you know, you need to be sealed up tight. That's why the hard freeze is really important. My granddad loved to tell this story. They went duck hunting in North Dakota one year back in the 70s or something like that. And they brought all these ducks home in a bunch of soft-sided, like, styrofoam coolers that they put in the carry-on. And he says about halfway through the flight, they melted and you could see the blood running through the actual overhead compartment, like dripping down on the seats below. And I was like, God, that's why that rule's a thing. Like,
yeah,
people like you.
Blame it on you.
Yeah. So that's the only thing. So you want one that's sealed up tight and got a hard freeze on it.
Yeah. I think the next big hurdle was, you know, getting the antlers back. You know, I especially wanted to mount mine. She was my first axis deer ever. And, I really wanted to mount my wife's as well, but kind of ruined her hide as dragging it across that marsh terrain. But I mean, it was pretty difficult. So, like, you can't carry on a full skull, but you can carry on antlers. The full skull with antlers attached is too broad to meet the size requirements of a carry-on bag. So essentially what we did is we cut the antlers off at the top of the skull plate and then cut the skull plate off separately and package that with the meat. But then the antlers were relatively compact, so I was able to just strap them to the back of my book bag for my set. And then my wife's set, well, I threw them in my gun case. So you can travel through TSA with the antlers as long as they're able to meet the size requirements.
So did y'all not bring back the full skull, just the skull plate?
So we did bring back her full skull, because we're doing a Euro mount of hers. But that one was also in the meat cooler. Because if I thought I got some funny looks with antlers, I can only imagine the look when TSA pulled that skull out.
Did you guys ever think about, you know, logistically of packaging it up nice and shipping it back? Was that, like, I don't know how much that would cost, but I can imagine that'd be an arm and a leg as well if you bubble wrapped the shit out of it and then sent it.
Yeah, so I actually shipped mine. So I couldn't shoulder mount mine. I'll explain why on the full length podcast, but I couldn't shoulder mount mine. I ruined the hide too. And so I was going to go, I was like, all right, I'm going to do a Euro. And cutting off the antlers was a foreign concept to me. That didn't feel right. I don't know if you'd ever done that before, Kevin, but I was like, oh man, I don't love this, as we're sawing at whatever midnight in the parking lot of this condominium.
Yeah. All right. That's a teaser for the full episode for sure.
Yeah. I saw the last question on there, so I can't wait to hear that on the full episode, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I did mine, I got my antlers off, and then I boiled my skull in the condo, because you can't. The other thing they really care about is the brain, so like taking brains over state lines is important or whatever. So I balled my brain, got it out, but it still had like some flesh and stuff on it, and I was like, you know, I'm not flying back with any of this meat. Why don't I just, there's a USPS store on this island, let's go check it out. It had 1.5 stars. It was amazing. And went there with my skull, and I was like, hey, I need to ship. I brought all the antlers and all the deadheads I found. I was like, hey, I need to ship all this to Georgia. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you can't do that. I was like, what's your biggest box? Yeah, I was like, what's your biggest box? And she's like, you need to go to the grocery store and ask for a box. I was like, oh my gosh. So I vacuum sealed the head, because thank God Kevin brought a vacuum sealer. I vacuum sealed it because there was still like flesh, and like it needed to be power washed, and you know, it was a third of the way into the Euro process. And I was like, this is going to freaking stink. So I vacuum sealed it, took it to the post office, bought a thing of bubble wrap, wrapped that shit, put it in a box, and shipped it to Georgia for $19. Priority shipping. $19. And I was expecting like 50 or 60 bucks. Like, I was willing to pay a lot of money to get it home so I wouldn't have to deal with it. It was $19. I was like, this is unreal.
That's insane. I wonder if you like would just put the whole Euro mount in the cooler and then just ship the cooler back, because it would be nice and protected. How much that would have been.
Yeah. So the only thing you need there is a cooler that fits the entire, you know, everything with the antlers off. But for $19, I was like, done deal. And so I cut off the antlers of all the other deadheads. And then I shipped all those skulls home the next day too. And it was $19. I was like, wow, great. So I got it back. It was back 2 days after. I was like, wow, that's like really surprisingly fast. Like, U.S. Postal Service, I went and left a 5-star review. I was like, you guys deserve it. Amazing.
Pump up their numbers a little bit.
Yeah. And I got it back, and there were flies coming out of the box before I even opened it. It was disgusting. Like, it smelled rank, and it was rotten. Like, every bit of flesh that was left on the head was rotten, and it was full of flies. And as soon as I cut open that plastic bag, it was just like, getting punched in the face. It was horrible. It was gross. It was really gross.
Man, I really don't know what we would have done without that saw. I mean, I think that's the tip of the day as well, is you got to have a solid bone saw with you. I mean, we use that thing every single day.
Yep, 100%. I actually bought that same set, Kevin, last week for my upcoming mule deer hunt, because that saw didn't get dull. Maybe we can link it in the show. I'll link it in the show notes. It's on Amazon. Not a sponsor, just a great saw. that thing cut through antlers and legs and all sorts of stuff. And it's nice and compact, and it didn't get dull. And that thing was clutch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was huge.
Good to know. Things that we always forget that we, you know, it's just stupid little things that you always forget that you're going to need out there. And you're like, fuck, now I gotta go buy a $70 cooler. But even though you guys talk shit about that cooler for $70, you just kept all your meat nice and cold and frozen for 24 hours. I mean, that's pretty, that's the best $70 right there.
Exactly. And the cool thing about taking your meat as a checked bag is in the belly of the plane, it's well below freezing. So that meat is not, the only time that meat is like in question is like in the tarmac or like between flights, because I don't know about you, Kevin. I took 4 flights home. It was freaking miserable. And
we had 3, but I think that also helped with it staying cool, because we traveled through the night. We took a red eye home. Mm. So, you know, we hit LA at like midnight, and then we hit Dallas at like 3 or 4 a.m. And then, you know, we came back to South Carolina, and it was still, you know, relatively cool outside. So I think all those factors contributed into it staying frozen the entire time.
Yeah, because when it comes down to it, that's the most important part, right? I mean, the antlers are sweet, the animals are cool, but like, if I don't go home with that meat of the animal that you shot, like, what's even the point? What are you even there for? So taking care of that stuff is of the utmost importance, and worth reading the minutia of the TSA website and, you know, Delta's rules and regulations. And that's a huge pro tip, knowing that you can travel with antlers on your carry-on. Like, that's massive.
Yeah, I never would have guessed that in a million years. I I got stopped by TSA for bringing protein powder on a fucking plane, and you guys are walking with skulls and antlers, and I'm like, I'm getting patted down for protein powder. So I that's like difference there.
So this is kind of funny. So like, no problems at all. Guns, antlers, meat, walk straight through TSA. I did bring back some Hawaiian salt, and they drug tested it. I was like, really? Line, dumped it out, like did all these tests on it, and I'm sitting there laughing. I was like, this has never happened. It's salt.
Yeah. The flesh, the Jeffrey Dahmer suitcase and everything like that is good, but you know, the fact that you brought salt back, that's where we draw the line at TSA. Phenomenal.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, it was good, man. It was a great trip. I'm pumped to push out this full length episode. You got any more pro tips, Kevin? While we're on a roll here.
No, you know, I think that pretty much covers it, man. I mean, we're gonna get it, like, dive into like all of our gear and you know, what you need to have, what I could have left behind, you know, in the full episode. But I think that's definitely the highlights. Packing in a cooler, bringing the vacuum sealer, and the ability to carry antlers home as your carry on luggage or on your carry on luggage. I mean, that was just invaluable.
Yeah, that's massive. And don't forget, don't underestimate UPS or, you know, USPS or anything like that if you need to ship something home in a pinch. That was a very pleasant surprise that I was expecting to be a much greater expense. So, yeah, high praise from me for that, or at least the USPS on Molokai. So,
I want to see that 5-star review. I want proof.
Dude, the reviews were scathing. They were like, everybody's like, this place is a piece of shit, like horrible service. I was like, yeah, great, here we go.
But you know, with our few interactions, we know exactly who left those reviews.
Oh, I mean, 100%, man. 100%.
There are two types of people on that island, and one of them definitely did it.
Yeah, 100%. We'll dive into
that's
that.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely dive into that.
I'm like pissed off that we're not talking about it all right now, because I'm trying, and I kept telling you, like, don't give me any details. I want to be surprised when we talk about it on the podcast. I want to know when everybody else knows. So I'm dying to know more information about this stuff and trying to get more information, but I don't want to spoil it all.
Yeah, we'll save it for the next one. You down to go back, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm ready right now.
Yeah, me too. We'll get a crew together. Bobby, you got to go, man.
Well, wait, if it only costs you $20 to ship antlers for USPS, how much would it cost to ship me, you United States Postal Service? I mean, it'd only be a couple hundred bucks, right?
Like, yeah,
dude. I'm 160, so I feel like we'd be like, you know,
maybe a little more. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but we did do the math on it, and to ship the cooler with the meat was going to be substantially more expensive than as a carry-on luggage, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so the antlers and the deadheads were only affordable due to the weight.
So what are you saying there, Kevin? I weigh too much? Is that what you're
getting? Yeah, lunchbox over here. I got 40 pounds on you, man.
God. All right, I'm too fat to get shipped there. Got it. Noted. I'll be a carry-on then.
Yeah. I will say the biggest detriment is the price tag associated with getting to Hawaii. That's the biggest hurdle for sure.
I mean, another pro tip, man, with proper planning, I really wasn't too disappointed with it. So I think we booked our flights 4 months in advance, and I think we came in around $680 or something like that. But I kept that Google flight alert on, and as it crept up closer to our actual departure time, I mean, I think it climbed up to close to $2,000. So proper planning is definitely essential in this trip.
Yeah, 100%. With those kind of logistics involved, you want to be sure everything's all squared away and tightened up. And you know, at the end of the day, that deer tag is a lot cheaper than a lot of deer and elk tags across the United States for non-residents. So something to keep in your back pocket. Or maybe we should stop talking about it so people don't go there and find out how awesome it is. So
yeah, seriously. Let me go first.
I think everyone could go there and wouldn't put a dent in these things. They're everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. Well, cool. I think this is a good place to wrap it up, boys. A good little teaser for our full-length episode once Stuart is done playing Slumlord with his tennis down there in Atlanta. So, yeah, this is good. Kevin, thanks for jumping on, dude. This is fun.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, of course, man. Listeners, as always, we appreciate the hell out of you guys. Go follow Hunt Lift Eat Official. Go follow the Hunt Lift Eat podcast on Instagram. And we'll talk to you guys next week.